as Joseph was with his wife, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what was the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we meet here this morning, especially this time of the year, thinking of the Christmas season and realizing it's because Jesus was born by Mary, the Messiah of the world had come, and he was your ambassador, your representative, that you were with us in him. Lord, we just thank you for his work that he did here, that he died on the cross, took all our sins on his shoulders, that we may be the righteousness of God. Lord, may we never forget that awesome act. And may we live up to the standard of the obedience that he has called us to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you took biology in high school? Raise your hands. How many of you liked biology? Not as many as had it. How many of you that had biology dissected things? Wasn't that fun? Oh, I don't know. I remember those days. This morning, we're going to do some dissection, not of animals, but of the Scripture. We're going to take 14 words that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds and dissect them and get in depth and see what those words meant. 14 life-giving words is the title of the message this morning. We're going to look, as I said, at what the angels came to those shepherds and what they proclaimed to them. And those 14 words basically encapsulate the whole gospel message. The whole message of what Jesus came were in those 14 words. Why he came, what he came for. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to realize that that is the whole meaning of this whole season. It's not trees or Santa Claus or a lot of things. Christmas is the birth of Christ. And we're going to focus and get in depth on those things. If you'll go back in your imagination to those hills in Bethlehem, on a dark night, clear, stars out. And on those hills, they are terraced and they are tilled from top to bottom. And just beyond those hills is a plain where there are flocks of sheep peacefully grazing while the shepherds keep watch of them in the evening night. They're there and all is peaceful and quiet. And it is the custom of these shepherds, these godly and devout men, when the sun goes down, they would sit together and rehearse some of the psalms that David wrote. Probably right there on those very hills, some of them were written. Or maybe they go over and they discuss the kingdom of God, which is to come. Or they talk about the promised one, this Messiah, this Christ that is going to come of the Son of David. They sit on these hills and they discuss these things, as is their custom, in the evening time. And then out of nowhere, the heavens are filled with celestial light, as if morning had come to midnight, and it's bright, and all of a sudden, standing before them, this heavenly host proclaiming to them that Jesus, the Christ, is born. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a king, the Savior. Luke chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me. We will look at that message that they brought. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. One point that I want to bring out before we get into this. It's interesting that God had decided this was the time, and as Scripture says, the most opportune time for Jesus to come into the world. And so he said, this is it. This is the event that the whole world has been waiting for. Now I'm going to get my group of angels, and he probably singles them out. And Michael, Gabriel, you guys, and you know, pick out a few more. Come here. I'm going to send you down, and I'm going to have you proclaim this message that Jesus is being born to the world. But I'm going to have you just tell a few people. We're not going to have you tell everyone. And notice where he sends his angels. He didn't send them to any palace or to any scholar's room. He sent them to Mary, of course, and to a priest, a humble man of God, and he sent him to humble shepherds. And he brought Jesus into the world in a manger. Jesus always comes to those who are humble, not to those who are proud. It's interesting that he proclaims it that way. And so he gives a message. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This was a message that the angels brought, that the Savior had been born into a world that these shepherds, I know, were waiting for. If they were not devout, godly men, the angels would not have come to them. They said, as they sat there, "This is the one that we have been waiting for." The first two words we're going to look at. In verse 10, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because Jesus is coming. The coming of Jesus into this world meant that fear could be taken away, and that the fear, and that is the fear of God and His wrath. We're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture this morning. I'm going to give you a sword drill, as we used to call it when I was growing up. 1 John chapter 4, turn there with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Fear not," he said, "fear not." 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. "In this is love perfected with us," John writes, "that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us." The angels, the first two words we're going to start to dissect is fear not. Because Jesus was coming into the world, we had no longer to fear. He says, verse 17, "We may have confidence for that day of judgment." In verse 18, "There is no fear in love, because fear has to do with punishment." The angel said, "Shepherds, here comes the Messiah. And if you will take him, you no longer have to have fear of punishment. Because in love, in the love of Christ, fear has been removed. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love." So this message of Jesus Christ coming into the world gives us confidence for the day of judgment. If we are in Christ, we do not have to fear the day when the trumpets sound and the clouds are open and the Lord descends. And that day will happen. And that day is coming very quickly, my friends. Very quickly it comes. And if you are in Christ, the words, these two words that the angels gave to the shepherds can be true to you. Fear not. If you are in Christ, there is no reason to fear. No reason to fear judgment. Because perfect love, love of Christ, casts out all fear. The opposite of that is if you do not have Christ, then you should fear. And you should weigh these words of these angels very, very seriously. Now words 3 and 4, the second set of words. First was fear not. Now we're going to look at the words good tidings. This infant the angels were proclaiming about had some good news, had some good tidings. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. We find the good news proclaimed here. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Here is what this good tidings is. It's a combination of two things. It's the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And the angel said, "Behold, fear not, I bring you good tidings." Good news. The good news was that the kingdom of God and the Messiah that was going to set it up is coming into this world. And then verse 35 of chapter 8. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news of Jesus." This good tidings has to do with Jesus. And if you are in Jesus, you don't have to fear, and you also get the kingdom of God. So this good tidings was that Jesus was a door to the kingdom. And then if you look at chapter 10 of Acts, verses 36 through 38, it says, "You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This good tidings also includes that Jesus brought about healing, not only physical healing, but spiritual healing, emotional healing in his word. And he preached peace, what this world needs very much so right at this moment. And going along with this idea of the healing, look with me at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Told you I was going to give you a workout in your Bible today. John chapter 16 at verses 20 and 22. Oh, excuse me. Wrong scripture. I'm looking too far ahead. Matthew chapter 11. Give myself a workout. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 11. I knew that didn't sound right when I said it. Matthew 11. There we go. Verse 4 and 5. We all have to mess up now and then. Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to him." The angel said, when Jesus comes, there will be good tidings. And this good tidings is that there will be healing in the land. Some of you here this morning could tell of your own stories of where you've received a healing or help in a time of illness. And all of us even have been raised from the dead. We say, well, Alan, we haven't died. Ephesians chapter 2 said, those of you who were in your sins were dead, and Christ resurrected you from that death and gave you a new life. So we all have been resurrected. And so we've all received a healing from Christ. This is all part of those good tidings. Then words 5 and 6 in our study this morning. Fear not, good tidings, and then great joy. Again, the angel said, because this child that we're heralding would one day ransom men, the kingdom would be theirs, and so would be everlasting joy. Look back in the Old Testament with me. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. This is a prophecy of the kingdom of God. And again, this kingdom is not going to be far off from being established. He says, those of you who will accept this Christ that we're heralding, if you will take him, you will have everlasting joy, and this kingdom will be yours. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord, those ransomed by Jesus, shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. As we see the death and violence and the wickedness around us in this world, we all wait for the day when sorrow and sighing will flee away. Richard and I were talking just this last week about the injustice that happens around us and in the government and in the court system and all the wickedness and perversion that seems to run rampant. We both were discussing how we can't wait for the day when that sorrow will be taken away from our lives. These angels said, I bring you great joy. If you will take this Jesus, which is the key to all these, you will have great joy. And in the day when the Lord returns and those who are ransomed by his blood shall come to Zion again with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain great joy, and it shall be theirs forever. There's only one way to get that kind of joy, and that's in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at John chapter 16, where I got ahead of myself. John chapter 16. I love this passage of Scripture. John 16, verses 20 and 22. Again, the angels heralded, great joy shall be yours. John 16, verses 20 and 22. Jesus speaking says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. I wait for that day when our weeping shall be turned to sorrow. And he goes on, when a woman is in travail, she has sorrow, because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a child is born into the world. Verse 22. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. We have a couple people expecting child. Tracy's is waiting to have hers. And there's a lot of anguish in childbirth, but when the birth is over, he says you forget that anguish. And you only know the joy of the child. He said that's what you're living in now. Sure, you're facing sorrows, and sure there is weeping, but sometime in the future, he says, I am coming back. Verse 22, he says, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. As we met at our pastor's retreat last week, one of the pastors was talking as he got tears in his eyes that he could not wait until the day that he would sit down at the supper table with the Lord again. He says, all I want in my life is to be able to see God and see His Son at the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb and sit down with Jesus. And Jesus says, I will see you again. If you are ransomed by me, I will see you again. And no one will be able to take that joy away from you. As a pastor, that's my joy, that I will be sitting at that table with my wife, with my family, and with my church friends, as we too will sit. And the joy will never be taken away if you will accept this Jesus that is born in Bethlehem. So fear not, good tidings of great joy. And then words 7 and 8 that we will look at, to all people. This good news and this great joy shall be to all people. This message was not only to the intellectuals, not only those who understood a good knowledge of the Scripture, not those who were just wealthy, not those who were of upper class, but it shall be to all people, to every nation, to any race, to any tongue, to any tribe who will obey the King. And that's exactly what we read in Luke, in Luke's account in Acts. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 10 with me. Acts chapter 10 at verses 34 and 35. Here's the good news that this is preached to all people. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. And Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. No matter what nationality you are, if you are anyone who fears and does what is right, you are acceptable to God. So this good news is not just to those who, quote, are religious. In fact, when Jesus came, those who were, quote, religious, the scribes and Pharisees, they missed the whole boat. But he says this is to all people, anybody from any nation, any tribe, anyone who fears me and does what is right is acceptable in God's sight. Now, of course, Luke, when he wrote this, was writing prior to the kingdom time. And we know in the book of Revelation, John, in a vision, is taken to the kingdom time. And Jesus relates in his own account that there will be every nationality there, every tribe, every tongue. If you'll turn there with me, Revelation chapter 7. He brings fulfillment what Luke wrote in Acts 10. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. John writes this as he was in his vision. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, from every nation, and from all tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. All tribes, all tongues, all nationalities will be in the kingdom. He says, this is to all people. God shows no partiality. A lot of times it's easy for us to have ill feelings towards other races. But Scripture says they will all be there. And we must learn to get along with all nationalities. Because anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, obeys and fears Him, will be with us in the kingdom. In fact, if God was to show any partiality, He would show it to the Jewish people. And you and I would not have a chance. Because they were His first chosen people. And so all peoples will be with us in the kingdom. Anyone, that is, who takes this Jesus, who this angel has proclaimed, shall be in the kingdom. All those who fear Him, as we read in Acts 10, and obey His voice. And then, in chapter 2, verse 11 of Luke, we look at words 9 and 10. First, it was, fear not, good tidings of great joy, to all people, unto you, are the next two words we want to look at. This is one of the more interesting studies as I began to look at this, because it's interesting in two ways. I never thought of this. I mean, when we read that, "For unto you is born this day," we go right over that. It's very easy to run right over that. But unto you is born this day a Savior. There's two things I want to bring out about that. The first one is the angels take the message from a universal one to an individual one. In other words, they said, "It shall be to all people." And then the next things they talk about, "But unto you." Sure, it's to all people, but it's an individual choice. You don't get into the kingdom because your parents are Christian, or you don't get in there because you belong to a church that is Christian. It's an individual choice. Sure, it's to all people, but it's to you individually. Look at me in the book of John. Book of John, chapter 3, verse 3. John 3, 3. Jesus writes. Jesus answered him. In John 3, 3. "Truly, truly, I say to you," to the individual, "I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Not because your parents are born anew or your mate is a Christian. "Unless you are born anew, you shall not see the kingdom of God." So the angels take it from all peoples down to you. It's your own decision. And that's what Jesus said. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then turn over with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12. He says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own. Again, it's not your family that's going to get you salvation or your mate. It's your own salvation. And you have to work it out on your own. So when we see unto you, they transfer it from all people down to an individual decision. And the second thing I want to point out is the amazing significance of those two words is that Jesus is here in this world for you and for me. "For to you is born this day." For unto you, this whole plan of salvation is planned. Because of you, Jesus is coming into the world. Because of you, he's going to die for your sins. All for you, individually. I've always read over that, never thought about that. But unto you, because you're here, because you're an individual, Jesus is going to be born because God proclaimed that to be. And because of you, he is going to die on the cross. And because of you, he's going to be raised again so that you can walk in newness of life. For unto you is born this day. On our account, all this that we celebrated Christmas was done for us. On our account. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Words 11 and 12 that we're going to look at. This day. For unto you is born this day. The angels say that this is the day of redemption of the world. Something that these shepherds, I know, had long been waiting for. Along with a lot of other people. Unto you is born this day. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1, at verses 10 and 11. These shepherds were not the only one waiting for this day to come. "So the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired about this salvation. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them when they predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory." And if you read on, they find out that this that they had been searching for, this Messiah, has now been revealed to us. They were waiting for this day to come. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance." And so first off, the prophets were searching and inquiring when this day would come. And it seemed like a long time for them. But then Peter writes, "But the Lord is not slow about his promises. He will make them come true." At least not the way we count slowness. "But he is forbearing, wishing that all should come to repentance." And going along with that, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 2. Again, he is not slow. He's wanting all to come to repentance. And where angel said, "This day..." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Paul writes, "For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you, and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's as true as the day He wrote it as it is for us today. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day you need to decide on Christ, whether to accept Him or reject Him. And so the angels write, this day. And for us, that means today is born as King, and we have an opportunity now to accept Him. And then the last two words, the 13th and 14th word that we're going to look at this morning is a Savior. For unto you is born this day a Savior. The message ends with the words that these shepherds were hoping to hear, that this baby that they were being told about was the one who is to come, the one that was to be born in the seed of David, the one that Moses had prophesied about and was prophesied about in Genesis, that he shall bruise the serpent's head and the serpent shall bruise his heel. They were hoping that the angels were going to finish this proclamation with, the Messiah is on his way. And that's exactly how they finished. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, your Savior. Acts chapter 4, turn there with me. Acts chapter 4, at verse 10. Acts chapter 4, at verse 10. Read through verse 12. It says, be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which men must be saved. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved except Jesus Christ. And then for our closing verse, which is most appropriate, John chapter 3 at verse 16 and 17. It is appropriate that we should end on this verse, especially at this Christmas season. This is what Christmas is all about. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Christmas is a time of gift giving. And John writes, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but be saved by a Savior, which is Jesus Christ, the name and the only name by which men can be saved. These words were not just 14 words of life to these few shepherds that heard them. They are words of life for us today. In these difficult days that we're living in, we must keep these 14 words in our mind. We do not need to fear. We need to remember those good tidings, the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and the great joy that will be ours when we sit down with Jesus again in the kingdom. And it will be to all people, and it will be for you this day a Savior. As we think of the troubles in the Middle East, and we have our worries of our young people over there, we see everything coming together, and we see the wickedness around us and the corruption. We need to hold these 14 words of life very close. And to fear not, and wait for the day of our Savior. All these promises that these angels spoke are ours as Christians. If you are in Christ, you have all these promises, all these 14 words you can claim as yours. If you do not know Christ this morning, if you don't know the Christ in Christmas, in Christness, we hope that you will make that decision today. For unto you is born this day a Savior. Will you take him? If you take Jesus as Savior, you no longer have to fear the day when the judgment will come, and it will come. If you'd like to take Jesus as Savior and give him the greatest gift you could give him this Christmas, we ask you to do that as we sing our closing song.